You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. I'm Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Now we're meeting the two men running for mayor of the city of Southport. The city was founded as Smithville in 1792. It was 1887 when the name changed to Southport. The U.S. Census Bureau estimates the population of Southport last year was about 3,600 people. Jerry Dove is the current mayor of Southport. He was elected in 2015 and is seeking his second term. Joseph Hatem, a medical doctor and longtime resident of Southport, is challenging Mayor Dove for the second time. Joe Pat Hatem is joining us now, a native of Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, and a doctor who practices at Southport's Dozier Memorial Hospital. It was 30 years ago, he says, that he started moonlighting in Dozier's emergency room while doing his residency at New Hanover Regional Medical Center. Joe Pat Hatem, welcome to Coastline.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Of course, you can ask your own question of our candidates today by calling us during the live Wednesday edition at 910-343-1138 or by emailing us at coastline@whqr.org. Joe Pat Hatem, the campaign slogan on your website is "A Better Way Forward." What does that mean? And if you did not win the seat this year, what would be the worst way forward?
The worst way forward for me or the city?
Whatever that means on your website, a better way forward.
All right. A better way forward is the theme that we came up with. I have a group of men that we met with prior to finally deciding to run and that type of thing. They encouraged me to run. And a better way forward is how do we go? What is the next step in terms of Southport's future? What is the strategic plan? And what are the plans for solving the problems that we have? What we've noticed is that the last 2 years have not been very robust in terms of solving the problems or developing a vision or a strategic plan for our city. For example, the waterfront. 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago, there was a waterfront plan, consultants, $180,000 project. And this project has not been implemented at all over the last 2 years, whether it's finding someone to help write grants or looking at river foundations who would be interested in erosion control, preservation, our environment. How are we accessing our state legislators, our congressmen?
So expand on this waterfront plan for a second, because we had a caller ask about this. $180,000 spent, but was this part of a beautification committee effort, or you mentioned erosion control, which is more than that? What exactly is this project?
This project, the most important part of it is erosion control. If we lose our waterfront, if we don't fix the drainage process, Southport's greatest industry is tourism. And the reason people come to Southport is because of our waterfront. And we have these marvelous businesses on the waterfront, these restaurants that people come to. I mean, on a Friday night, Saturday night during the summer, it is one of the most festive places in our state. And it's a beautiful setting. There are 4,000 feet of waterfront. And there are certain things that can be done, coastline revetments, planting certain plants to stabilize it, getting the Ballhead Ferry to slow down, which is the biggest source of our erosion problem. So that's what I mean by the waterfront project.
And part of the movement on that was for this bill to go through the legislature that would allow Southport and other municipalities, potentially in Brunswick County, to charge an additional tax up to 0.5% on prepared food and beverages, specifically to address that erosion problem.
Yes.
So that's some movement. If you were mayor of Southport, what would you be doing differently in terms of working with the General Assembly?
Well, I would be up there once a week until we got some funds. You can call now. You can text. You can write. You can go up there. You just have to have a presence. You have to have a relationship with them. Senator Rabin, our legislator, Frank Eiler, they're close friends. We're all Eagle Scouts. I think I have a good rapport with them. And so that is where I would start our county commissioners.
So you're saying you would like more money from the state than just this ability to charge the additional tax?
Absolutely. We're looking at $3.4 million, so we want to look at every avenue and maximize every way of funding this project possible.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. With us now answering your questions is Joe Pat Hatem. He's seeking the mayoral seat in the city of Southport. You can ask your own question on this Wednesday by calling us at 910-343-1138 or sending an email to coastline@whqr.org. Southport recently hired a new city manager after Kerry McDuffie left. He filled that role for about 3.5 years. What's the biggest challenge that you see facing the new manager, Bruce Oakley, and how do you see the role of the mayor and the board of aldermen when it comes to working with staff on those challenges?
I think the greatest challenge he's going to have is the greatest challenge that I see is how do we preserve our beautiful heritage, our quaint village, while promoting economic development. Change is going to come to Southport. Change is coming. We're a fast-growing county, Brunswick County is. So how do we mitigate those changes? How do we keep a hotel from landing in a neighborhood?
Are you talking about the hotel?
Yes.
Going up on the riverfront?
Yes, that potentially was going up. They've scaled it down now, and the town has responded. The ordinance has been changed, so now the maximum number of rooms is 10. So it's our UDO that we have to be careful with in terms of going over very carefully. Our Southport Planning Board, my wife is chairman of the Planning Board, and they've done a great job with that, and they're continuing to look at that. So in terms of the city manager, that would be the greatest challenge, our heritage versus growth. How, in terms of interacting with the Board of Aldermen, the mayor has to inspire the Board of Aldermen. He has to be a policy person. There's a quote from John Adams, "Let us dare to read, think, speak, and write." And I hold that close. If we're not reading, we're not researching before we speak, and then we're not talking about it, writing about it. If we're not in our neighborhoods, in our communities, I want to have every alderman to be successful in their wards. I want to work with each one of them. And I want to be a mayor that is a voice for all of the citizens. You know, it's recently, last year in terms of the hotel, we had a couple that wrote this impassioned long letter that was put in the Stateport Pilot. And so in my campaign, I went to them and I said, well, did the mayor call you Wednesday night? After this letter, the paper comes out on Wednesday, no. Well, did he go by your house on Thursday? No. If someone is that concerned and upset and a citizen of Southport, you know, you read the paper for information. You also read it for who do I need to see? Who do I need to call? We should be on that. Whatever the problem is, if I'm mayor, I'm calling or I'll be on their front step the next day.
I wouldn't normally bring up the appearance of a candidate. We don't have a camera in here, but I think this is worth mentioning. I think you're the first candidate who's walked in here wearing a bright red polka-dotted bow tie and bright red high tops. Can you just talk about the choice there? Because clearly that means that there's a significance.
Yes. Well, thank you for noticing. What happened was when I was an intern at New Hanover, we wore, dress shoes, khakis, white jacket, tie every day during the day. But at night, when you were on call, you could wear scrubs. And I wore Chuck Taylor high tops. I'd been wearing them all my life. And my father was a merchant. He sold them in his store. So I've been wearing them a long time in different colors over the years. But when I'd work in the ER at Dozier, scrubs, because it was weekends and nights. So I had scrubs and high tops and started wearing red. And I found that children, pediatric patients, saw some guy coming in with red shoes and they were just a little less afraid. And I said, well, if that will give me an advantage with the child, then I'm going to do it. And then it got to the point where I just kept wearing them because, you know, people either say, they're less afraid of this person coming in with red shoes, or they're going, dear God, that's my doctor. What am I going to do now? So that's how it started. And I've just, and so I've evolved just wearing them ever since. They may not know my name, but they know the doctor with the red shoes. And so hopefully they had a good experience with me. And if they didn't, then they know who to talk about and say, that doctor with the red shoes.
You ran the last time around in 2015,
yes.
And also facing Jerry Dove for the mayoral seat in Southport. Lost by about 79 votes, which equates to almost 7%. What does that tell you? And why, with what sounds like an extremely demanding full-time job, would you want to be in a position? Why do you want to take this on where you might need to go visit people who've written impassioned letters to the state port pilot?
It gives me an opportunity to serve, another way to serve our community. I find it a very intellectually challenging, creative process. I'm very passionate about Southport. I love Southport. I want Southport to be seen through the eyes of the young boy Robert Ruark. I want people to come to town and they know who he is and know that the old man, you know, that first sentence, the old man pretty much knew everything. So that's why I want to do it. And in terms of my, you know, demanding job, you know, I think I make a difference at the hospital. I think I can make a difference for the city of Southport, improving the quality of life of all its citizens. I'm an independent contractor, so I have a flexible schedule. And I've talked to the administrator before I even filed for office, and he was very supportive of this. So why I want to do it, it's to serve. It just basically, and the other thing is that I was asked to do this again. I had not really planned to run, but a group of individuals, in fact, 6 months prior, even patients I was seeing in the hospital that were citizens of Southport, you're going to run again, aren't you? And I'm going, no, I'm not going to run again. You know, I just really hadn't thought about it that hard. So that's why it's going to be a great chance to serve, and I'm looking forward to it.
If you are elected, where do you see the electrical grid going? Does it make sense to keep it under the auspices, the control of the city of Southport, or should this component get passed over to Brunswick Electric?
Well, that would require, you know, more research than I've been privy to in that regard. But right now, the city's grid is solid. Brunswick Electric, we have the contract with them, and it's working out well right now. We get our energy from Duke Power. Part of the problem is the lines coming into our grid. That's where we lose our power at times. One of the things we need to look into is, you know, Brunswick Electric also has lines there. Can we have a secondary line in case the line from Duke Energy goes down? Can we have a quick backup? And the other thing is we have to think about, but it's so financially prohibitive, is putting the lines underneath, putting them in the ground.
And where are you on that? How much of a priority is that?
You know, we have to prioritize, you know, our things. And that's not at the top because it's so expensive. I think there are other things that need to be done with infrastructure, our waterfront, things like that, before we get to that project.
So then let's talk about how you would keep Southport on solid financial footing. Are there parts of the budget that you think, where you think the current administration just spends too much? Are there areas to cut?
You know, the budget is 45 pages, and I've been looking at it, but you it's hard to absorb when you've not been part of that process until, you know, more recently. Let's say, well, first of all, we have to support our first responders, our fire, our rescue. They have to have the equipment that they need. And our city employees have to have good health coverage and things like that. But in terms of purchasing one vehicle versus another, if you can, it's not like we're a big town. We don't need big SUVs and things like that. Maybe we could get by with a $22,000 vehicle instead of a $44,000 vehicle. And if there are things that need to be purchased, let's make sure that we are getting the best deal possible. Are we doing the research? You know, what is the age of the vehicle that we're replacing? How many miles? Why are we replacing it? Can it be fixed? I mean, we just really need to line by line going over this budget.
And just very briefly, in light of the news about unregulated and potentially toxic chemical compounds in the Cape Fear River,
yes,
how does that affect Southport? What does that do to your planning if you are elected?
Well, when I ran 2 years ago, it was for the health of our city, and one of it was for the health of our environment, and I put in there clean water, clean air, and this was long before Gen X. And someone came up to me and says, "We already have clean water." I says, "Well, we have to be vigilant." So we are our campaign is very pro-environment, clean water, clean air, absolutely. And we have to measure for these toxins.
Joe Pat Hatem, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
You're listening to the Coastline Candidate Interviews. When we come back, we'll meet the other candidate, hoping to be the next mayor of Southport, incumbent Jerry Dove. And we're taking your questions during the live Wednesday discussion by phone at 910-343-1138 or by email at coastline@whqr.org. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.